It's here and now. You may have heard our interview this week with Monsanto CEO Hugh Grant. We talked about GMOs, pesticides, and more, and many of you wrote in with criticism of Hugh Grant's answers, of my questions, and of the fact that we had him on the air in the first place. Well, we're going to take up some of that criticism now with Dan Charles, NPR food and agriculture correspondent. He has covered Monsanto extensively and is author of the book Lords of the Harvest, Biotech, Big Money, and the Future of Food. Dan, welcome.
Nice to be here.
And let's go through some of the criticism, because there has been a lot. And we asked Hugh Grant about, first of all, why the company sues farmers who reuse their patented seeds each year instead of buying new seeds. And he said that it's an urban myth that his company pressures farmers to do this. Here he is.
Growers buy fresh seed every year because fresh seed yields better crops. They've been doing that with corn since the 1940s.
Now, in fact, I pushed him on it, and they have sued farmers, and he did admit that, in fact, they have sued more than 100 farmers, and I think 9 cases have gone to trial. But give us the truth about Monsanto and suing farmers.
So it's true that in the case of corn, farmers have been using fresh seed every year for quite a few decades because corn is a hybrid and you don't replant a hybrid. The controversy over saving seed is mostly about soybeans, cotton, canola. And at the time Monsanto sort of came into this business with their genetically engineered seeds, a significant minority of farmers were in fact saving soybean and canola seeds. And Monsanto came down very hard on that, made them sign an agreement saying, you will not do this anymore. You know, Mr. Grant is right. Farmers did have a choice. They could buy the seed and play by those rules or not. But still, it rankled a lot of people in the farming industry because basically they were being told you can't do something you've always done. And the enforcement of it was very heavy-handed, and there were these lawsuits. I should say, you know, that choice is not so much there anymore because this practice is almost universal in the seed industry now, and it's pretty hard in the corn and soybean business to find seed that's not protected in that way.
And what about the idea, and this came up, and I'm going to read you a comment that we got on our website about this, that people would be inadvertently growing Monsanto seeds and they'd be sued for it. Here's what the Habman wrote. He is lying. He's talking about Hugh Grant, as they have sued farmers who didn't use their seed to begin with. However, their heirloom seed, it was contaminated via cross-pollination with their GMO products. Monsanto then sues, claiming they stole the seed.
Okay, with apologies to your listener there, that really is an urban myth. There is only one example of a case in which Monsanto sued a farmer when the farmer said that his crops had been just cross-pollinated from neighboring crops. That was up in Canada, a farmer named Percy Schmeiser. The crop was canola. There was some disputed evidence, but the court came to the conclusion that Percy Schmeiser knew exactly what he was doing, and he was planting almost exclusively Roundup Ready soybeans, and he knew it, even if he never bought that seed from Monsanto. So this business of Monsanto suing farmers just because of accidental cross-pollination and farmers don't even know it's in their field, not true.
All right. Hugh Grant also said he wanted to dispel the myth that pesticide use has gone up because of Monsanto products. Here he is on that.
If you look at the last 20 years, pesticide use has been reduced. And as we've seen the increase in GMOs, the use of pesticides has decreased significantly.
Dan Charles, what have you found in your reporting about that?
Okay, so it's complicated. You can look at specific crops in specific areas and argue both sides. You can say that pesticide use has been going down, and you can argue that, for instance, with cotton. You can say that in the case of corn in some places, the use of insecticides. But you can also say the use of herbicides in many areas has been going up, and that's true too. What you can say definitely is there has been a big shift away from other herbicides, other weed killers, to glyphosate or Roundup, which is Monsanto's product, because of the huge use of these so-called Roundup-ready crops, the ones that tolerate, you know, doses of that particular herbicide.
And when it comes to that, we also got a lot of comments about that, and we talked about this in our interview, the idea that some people believe, including the World Health Organization, that glyphosate could be carcinogenic. They say it's probably carcinogenic. The EPA says that the science does not provide evidence to show that glyphosate causes cancer. Hugh Grant says it's not carcinogenic. What do we know?
Here's a case in which scientists honestly disagree because the scientific data is murky. when you try to decide whether a particular chemical causes cancer or not, you often have to use kind of surrogate tests. In the case of glyphosate, you know, they looked in cells to see whether it causes genetic mutations. They said, okay, it does. They looked at animal tests with rats to see whether if you dose them with glyphosate, they develop tumors. There it was a little murky. Basically, the UN's scientific body on this said it is probably carcinogenic. The European Food Safety Agency came to the opposite conclusion. And then beyond that, there's the level of exposure, because you then have to say, okay, so how much of this would cause an appreciable increase in the number of cancer cases? You know, that's something that the EPA is working on with its risk assessment. It's very complicated. And if there is an effect, I would say, the scientists would say it's probably subtle.
Well, and a lot of people, when they hear you say that and when they heard us talk about that in the last couple of days, would say it's a huge conspiracy that these governments, these organizations are letting Monsanto get away with this because it's such a huge company and has such a huge economic impact when it comes to agriculture.
Well, you could argue it the other way, too. Glyphosate is getting an extraordinary amount of attention because it is Monsanto's product and because it is so widely used. There are a lot of things that fall into this probable carcinogen category, including some stuff we deal with every day. I mean, in fact, you know, shift work. If you work the night shift, that is, you know, in the UN's cancer-causing list, that's considered an even more likely carcinogen than Roundup. I mean, there's lots of things. Sunlight. Definitely carcinogenic. So, I mean, these things are complicated, and you end up sort of weighing the risks and making decisions based on that, as opposed to just sort of saying, okay, we will be exposed to nothing carcinogenic.
That's Dan Charles, NPR food and agriculture correspondent who's been covering Monsanto for many years. His book is called Lords of the Harvest, Biotech, Big Money, and the Future of Food. Dan, I'm sure we put the whole issue to rest right there, or maybe not, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.